O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Well, Bracken did it again. This is a real familiar passage of scripture. If you're a CTKer, you've heard me speak on it a lot. I do it often, Lazarus weekends, other times, whenever it comes up. I had another word, but when he read this, I just wanted to speak something. I felt like the Holy Spirit just said, speak something again from this. Nothing new, just a reminder that's applicable to maybe what some of you are going through. Here's the wrong question, always. Lord, are you sure I can handle this? Or Lord, I'm not sure I can handle this. One is the wrong question and the other one's the wrong statement. It's the wrong question. Lord, can I really handle this? Wrong question. 100% of the time, wrong question. You may go, yeah, but you don't understand what I'm dealing with. Wrong question. Lord, I'm not sure I can handle this. Wrong statement. Again, but Bishop, you don't get it. What I'm about to do, what I'm facing right now, I'm never really wrong statement. 100% of the time. There's only one question. Are you abiding in Christ? Is what you're doing God's will? I didn't say that they're behaving in God's will. I'm just saying in your walk in the Lord, this is just what's going on in your life. And there are things you have no control over. Or people you have no control over, in case you haven't figured that out yet. So that's all that matters. Is this where God's ordered your step? And if it is, then the fact that you look at yourself and what you're feeling, what the enemy's telling you, the fiery darts, what even buddies in Christ, your intercessors might be speaking to you. Prayer chains can sometimes create the worst bondage in the history of the world. If they're saying the wrong stuff. Prayer's good. I mean, we've just been doing that for months and months. Loaves and fish, five loaves, that was the Greek is there, five like little wafers, two fish, like two little fish. It's like small fish. Again, this is just a boy's sack lunch. You with me? It's not enough to feed 15 to 20,000 people. That's pretty obvious, right? But something childlike enough in that little boy. Thank God it wasn't an adult. But a childlike person somehow figured if they could get what they had and it wasn't much into that guy's hands, he could do something with it. And if you spend your time contemplating your loaves and fish, I just don't think I'm smart enough, I don't think I'm articulate enough, I don't think I have the patience for it, I just don't think this is going to work out for me. I just don't think this is just. Then you don't get it. The loaves and fish never had, independent from the activity of God, the capacity to feed 15 or 20,000 people. But supernaturally, it was just the available instrument through which God could use. I love the fact, again, that Jesus, in this particular account of this story, it says he looked toward heaven and gave thanks. And then again, you've heard me read this before, this is in verse 23, the same chapter. The next day, the multitude that stood on the other side of the sea, goes on, verse 23, and there came other small boats from Tiberias near the place where they ate the bread after the Lord had given thanks. The Holy Spirit emphasizes that for a purpose. Why? Jesus didn't wait to see it. He didn't wait to feel it. He had as much sense as everybody else that in the natural, five crackers and two sardines couldn't feed 15 or 20,000 people. His human resources were not adequate for the situation God had placed him in. As far as I know, it wasn't even a situation he'd asked for. He was just abiding in the Father, and there it is. It is what it is in Christ. But Jesus gave thanks that the adequacy of the Father to be demonstrated through him was a present tense reality before he ever saw it in the natural. And in response to his faith, the miracle was demonstrated. It wasn't a challenge to God. We call it a miracle. From man's side, it was just God being God. From God's side, 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. It's one of the best verses you'll ever memorize in all the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. Your little loaf and fish, your adequacy, lack of adequacy, lack of ability to articulate, intellect, whatever it might be, wrong personality for the situation, is absolutely and totally irrelevant. The only thing, the issue is this: can God do whatever he wants to do with what you make 100% available to him? He's just simply waiting for you to give him thanks for God-given victory that you can't see in the natural yet, so that he can manifest that which already exists in the heavenlies into your experience. That's why I talk about all the time, the language of faith is very simple. It's not a formula. You don't have to rub two rocks together and run around in circles and shout some formula, some kind of charismatic nut job. Just say thank you. And then step forward, expecting him to do what he does. Prove himself faithful. See, I love the scripture from 2 Timothy 2:13. Even if you believe not, he will abide faithful, because he can't deny himself. So just step forward, giving him thanks. You could be shaking it in your boots as you step forward, giving him thanks. Because even we believe not. Here's what real faith is. I understand he's going to abide faithful. Huh? Because he can't stop being who he is. Amen. Amen. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.